Welcome back to our special coverage of the events in Ferguson, Missouri. How tied are we to our racial history in America? Are police shootings like the one we experienced in Ferguson an unfortunate accident? Or the playing out of a grim script of racial division? We turn to someone who has thought about this quite a lot. Harvard professor Annette Gordon-Reed is the author of The Hemingses of Monticello, An American Family, an award-winning book about the hidden history of Thomas Jefferson's slave family. Annette Gordon-Reed, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
So you write that Thomas Jefferson believed that black people would never forget the wrongs done to them in slavery and that the white majority would never overcome its deep-rooted prejudices. I'm wondering if what we're seeing now in America is that dangerous, terrifying space between a cop and a young black man, unarmed in this particular case in Ferguson, is kind of the dividing line that Jefferson was talking about so long ago.
I think so, because it goes to the question of citizenship, the question of how individuals who walk in the United States are treated by official power and the respect that official power accords or does not accord to individuals. And I think what happened there and what happens in many, many communities across the United States is that there is a lack of respect or a sense that black people are presumptively guilty. And that leads to a number of horrible situations, from deaths to just everyday harassment, which is a problem. It's demoralizing.
I'm going to give you three scenarios here, and they're certainly not exhaustive. But when a situation like the Michael Brown shooting happens, there's one scenario that says the cop was a racist. The other scenario is an unfortunate mistake. Somebody's really nervous and they pull the trigger by accident. But then there's another scenario which says that because of the historical baggage that you write about, that on some level, a white cop believes that society gives him permission to pull that trigger and that that maybe explains why African-American young people die.
Well, there's a permutation on that last scenario is that there's greater fear, I believe, of black people. A number of people have pointed out situations where whites have gotten into altercations with cops, have hit cops, have shot cops, have done all kinds of things, and they don't get killed. So it's almost as if there's a sense of a black person, black power, you know, that is menacing. But there's also the realization that killing black people is allowable in ways that it's not allowable to kill whites. So black lives are worth less than white lives. And that goes to the point that you're making. This is a historical thing. This comes from slavery. It comes from Jim Crow, the aftermath of slavery and Reconstruction. The idea that black lives are worth less. And if they're worth less, period, they are certainly not to be accorded the rights, the full panoply of rights of citizenship. The question is, how do we live together as equal citizens? And we haven't resolved that.
In your own community growing up, did you think about young people dying by gunfire? Did you talk with young males who were afraid or believed that this scenario would be the way they met their end?
Well, yes, because it happened. A person who was in my older brother's cohort was killed in police custody, multiple shots, supposed to have pulled a razor blade, not a razor, a razor blade out of an afro, which he didn't have, and attacked an officer. And in this instance, the officer was put on trial, but he was acquitted, self-defense, and it was pretty clear that nothing was going to happen to him. And there's always this fear of calling the police. A lot of times people in my community who were victims would not want to call the police because what could happen would be far worse than the thing that they would be complaining about. So, yeah, this was always a fear. And, you know, I grew up in a small community where we had one black police officer, and he was not allowed to arrest white people. He could only arrest black people. So there was this notion that whites were above blacks, and that played itself out in law enforcement every day.
Do you carry that ambivalence about law enforcement to the point where you might feel it having to dial 911 in Cambridge as a Harvard professor?
Harvard professors have notoriously a problematic relation with the Cambridge police. I'm thinking about Skip Gates.
Right.
But I've called the police. But it depends. I will say that if I were dealing with a situation with a young black male and it was not something that was, you know, too serious, I mean, I would think twice about doing it because I don't know how he would be treated. And I would not want his death or, you know, disfigurement or whatever on my hands. And the fact that that runs through my mind is problematic.
When we see the people in the streets and the, you know, violence and the unrest and the police in riot gear and all the sort of aftermath of something like the Michael Brown shooting, I'm just drawn to ask myself, what happened at the moment? It seems to me there's some sort of signature set of circumstances that makes this happen. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's a pattern, and it turns out in this dreadfully awful way.
It's a number. It's a perfect storm. You have young males who are young, and by definition, impulsive, who have a keen sense of fairness and not wanting to be mistreated. And the lack of communication and a lack of, I think, empathy on the part of officers who don't see these young people as young people, don't see black people as people in the same way, and it gets out of hand. And this happens over and over again. And old habits die hard. So I think we have to integrate police forces and better training. And these are policy choices. There are some things that can be done.
So you have hope that there is a fix, that we don't have to live out this kind of prescription from Thomas Jefferson that will never cross this divide.
Oh, I have hope that it will change. I'm not hopeful that it's going to be quick. It's not something that I think is going to be in my lifetime. But we have to start working on it. I mean, obviously, we've come a long way. A lot has happened that Jefferson could never have envisioned. But it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. I think a number of people thought, we have a black president, so everything's okay. That was never going to be true.
Annette Gordon Reed is the author of The Hemingses of Monticello, An American Family, professor at Harvard University. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.